Yes, that lying form's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah,
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 202 on the Fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for the next 3 hours as we take you to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rami back with us on the other side taking your calls at 888-808-1019. And I'm sure we'll still talk about the Torpedo Bats, but after the Yankees' offensive explosion and the New York Mets struggling to get offense and all the pressure on Pete Alonso after three days, last year he hit the biggest home run of the season, of a magical season. Pete Alonso hit the biggest home run against the now Yankee closer Devin Williams in Milwaukee, which everyone scores runs against Milwaukee now. The biggest home run of the year, has a great playoff, three games in. All the pressure in the world on Pete Alonso. Well, now he's hitting behind Juan Soto, and I can't take it. We can't watch this all year. You know, the person behind Juan Soto has got to be a dynamic hitter. He had Judge last year. You know, he asked for protection when he spoke in one of the initial meetings with Cohen. Like, Pete Alonso has got to be the guy. Whoever's behind Juan Soto's there. It's three games in, and I know we had some fun, and the Yankee fans had some fun overreacting to three games. But three games in, to have this feeling like Pete Alonso better damn well come through, like, it just makes me laugh. Oh, he needed this. Oh, God, they needed it, and they got it. 10 runs. They beat Miami 10-4, and Pete Alonso, yes, in the fifth inning of a 2-1 game after Siri doubles in Acuna, and then the manager, Clayton McCullough, of the Miami Marlins, I have no idea what the hell he's doing. He's got a left-hander ready to bring in against Soto. He doesn't. He allows Quantrill to face Soto. He walks Soto. And then he allows him, obviously, because you're going to leave him in. You're leaving him in because you want to face Pete Alonso. And I guess that was the thought, right? Why attack? I'm probably going to end up walking Soto anyway, because I'm not going to attack him, so I might as well walk him with my right-hander and have him available for Pete Alonso. But my point is, like, and then obviously Pete Alonso comes through with the line drive opposite field grand slam. Like, so many of his home runs were hit last year in the postseason. He was really trying to drive the ball the other way, and it was actually very reminiscent of, and they showed the replay of his first ever career home run in that ballpark back in 2019. But I look at this, and I am baffled by the quick nature. I know the offense struggled, right? And I understand that certainly early on, Lindor has these terrible months of April. We'll get into Lindor, what kind of bats he uses. You're never gonna guess what kind of bat Lindor's been using. We'll get to it at 888-808-1019. But obviously, congratulations to Francisco and his family as they just welcomed in birth of a new child. So he was out of the lineup today. But you know, this offense has been struggling early on in the season, and you'd like to get it going, and there's a lot of pressure to this year. And because you are now with the big boys, and I heard Keith talking about this, is now that you are, you know, big brother or whatever you want to call it, clearly one of the better teams in baseball with one of the richer owners who had the most successful offseason, and now you're expected to win at a high level, and you can't lose the opening series, and you certainly can't come into Miami and lose to the Marlins. So, yes, there was a little bit of pressure, as much as there can be, in Game 4 of the season for the New York Mets. But the idea that there's no trust behind this lineup that was still pretty damn good last year, and there was no faith in Pete Alonso, who the fan base desperately wanted to bring back. I know, because I talked to you. Maybe there were some. There was the occasional person, for the most part, who thought maybe he wasn't worth a big contract, a long-term deal. You know, he's not that great defensively. He's just okay. I know he's great with the scoop, but his body type, how long does it last? He wasn't very clutch last year, all that stuff. But for the most part, the fan base was desperate to bring him back after he brought the season to life. I understand that Lindor was great. Lindor hits the home run against the Atlanta Braves in the first game of that doubleheader to send them to the playoffs. Lindor hits the home run against Philadelphia to win that series and send them to the NLCS. But Pete Alonso's home run against Milwaukee is what made this all possible. Otherwise, we feel a hell of a lot different about this Met team, even with Juan Soto. The ride doesn't feel the same. Nothing about last year feels the same if they go out with a whimper and lose games 2 and 3 in Milwaukee of the wild card round. That was an enormous home run. And then he went on to have a pretty damn good postseason, and then everybody wanted him back. And within 3 games of a subpar entire offense, not just Pete Alonso, everybody not named Juan Soto did not hit for the first series in Houston against 2 damn pretty well good pitchers. And then the 3rd game, there's no excusing to be 1 hit. But besides that, nobody hit. Not Nimmo, who comes through with a home run in this game. Not anybody. And the offense kind of exploded after that grand slam. Marte, obviously earlier in the game with a home run. You get the home run from the catcher. You get, you know, a kind of just an overall offensive explosion where they score 10 runs. Torrens hits one off of a glove. But in that moment, and I understand the idea because the Yankees dealt with it all of last year, and they deal with it every day now with Aaron Judge. The great player needs protection. And the thing with Juan Soto is, and I've been saying this from the second they got him, and we talk about protection, and there are stupid Yankee fans, or any kind of fan, who wants to talk about Soto needs protection to be Soto. Let's see what Soto looks like next year without Aaron Judge. That is absolute crap. Juan Soto is one of the great players in this league. He's one of the best hitters I've ever seen. And he's going to take his walks no matter who's behind him. He's not going to feel like he needs to do anything. It's not about protection. He's going to play his game because that's how those guys play. Yeah, maybe on opening day was he a bit excited and swung at a slider. Okay, you can live with that. But for the most part, on a day in and day out basis, Juan Soto is going to look at balls. He is going to take his walks. And it's going to be up to whoever's behind him, whether it's Pete Alonso or at any point Vientos or whoever else, Nimmo, whoever they decide to put behind behind Juan Soto, is going to get opportunities to come through. And Juan Soto is going to be great in front of him. We know this. He doesn't need anybody behind him. He's going to be great. He's going to play his game. He's going to get on base. That's what he does best. He might hit 40 home runs, and he did it for the Yankees last year, and he might drive in 100. But what Juan Soto does best is understand the strike zone at a level that we don't see very often. Barry Bonds, Ted Williams, these are the guys who understand the strike zone as well as Juan Soto. So 3 games in, when the offense, besides Juan Soto, is all ice cold, the idea that the onus was on Pete Alonso after he saved your season last year and you all booed the owner at Met Day when he was trying to give you the honest assessment of where the contract negotiations were. And it wasn't necessarily booing him. We've had that discussion. But anyway, the point being, you booed what he had to say about possibly not bringing back Pete. You all wanted him. And then 3 days in, oh, God, he needed that. I don't know if he needed it 3 days in, but obviously, yes, whoever is behind Juan Soto is going to have to come through, much like right now it's been Jazz for the Yankees, needs to come through behind Aaron Judge. There's no doubt about it. That's going to be a huge component of this Met lineup because Juan Soto is going to take his walks. Juan Soto's not going to swing at balls. And we saw the way they handled it tonight, 3 games in. Like, they're not going to bring in the lefty to attack Juan Soto because you know what? They'll probably end up walking him anyway. And now, with the new rules of baseball, although they're not that new, the lefty would have to face Alonso. That's what Juan Soto does. Juan Soto impacts how the managers think. And I thought the manager pulled a rock in this one. But that's how good Juan Soto is. And so whoever's behind him hitting for protection is clearly important. And Juan Soto said it after opening day that he has no problems taking his walk because he knows Pete Alonso's behind him, who's a big-time power hitter. And the idea that, you know, it's funny because I was talking about this with Rami too. Like, the playoffs and baseball fans are very funny to me because all we talk about is how important the postseason is. And that's it. Right? Has he done it in the postseason? I say Judge is the best offensive player in baseball, and I can see all of you scurrying to your phones right now or to social media to call me an idiot or to specify, yeah, okay, in the regular season, because all that matters is the postseason, and he's done nothing in the postseason, so I don't care what he does in March. I don't care what he does in April. I don't care that he's hit 4 home runs in the first 3 games of the year. Talk to me in October. And yet Pete Alonso hits a freaking enormous home run to save your season. To get you to that NLDS where you take on Philadelphia, hits home runs for you there as well. And yet, 3 games in, oh man, Pete Alonso, better. I'm tired of watching this crap. So it doesn't matter. The point is, when I'm watching the game, I expect you to come through or you're a bum. And Pete Alonso came through with a big hit, and he did need it. And everybody needs it. And they need to score some runs and break a game open and have a little bit of a laugher. And not, you know, be in threat of losing a series with Alcantara on the mound later today. So it was a big hit, and I expect many more. Because I think what you're going to see is a lot of guys on base for Pete Alonso. And I know Pete Alonso did not have the most productive regular season and wasn't very clutch. And that's probably a lot of why the fan base thinks he needs it. I understand that. The last time you saw him in clutch moments, he was great for you in the biggest clutch moments you could possibly have. But last year, there's no doubt, throughout the course of the regular season, it was a down year for him. And particular in moments like yesterday in the 5th inning with bases loaded, those are the moments he was not coming through all year long. And the importance of who hits behind Juan Soto amps up the pressure even more. But here's the fact of the matter. Pete Alonso, although not being an all-around great hitter, and I'm still not sure what batting average he'll have or what on-base percentage he's having, but he is going to hit a ton of home runs. And right now he is in a, and I wouldn't move him. I don't care, and I don't care if he continues to struggle. I know he came through yesterday. We'll see if that's kind of, you know, we hear the term all the time, the monkey off the back. I can't imagine that guy hits a go-ahead home run in the wild card game to save the Mets' unbelievable season that might have led to them getting Juan Soto, but he needs to come through in game 4 of the year against Miami to really feel relieved. I can't imagine that, but maybe this will be the straw that broke the camel's back, the monkey off the back, or any other back expression you like. But I'm just telling you this. Pete Alonso is going to have a monster season if they hit him 4th or 3rd behind Juan Soto every day, because Juan Soto gets on base at as good a clip as anybody in baseball this side of Aaron Judge. And with him on base and with the power of Vientos, and we saw Nimmo hit a home run, the rest of this Met lineup, they're going to attack Pete Alonso because, as dangerous as he isn't the greatest of hitters. He isn't an average hitter. He might be a 240 hitter. He might be someone you can pitch to and make good pitches to and get him out. He is not a world-class hitter. He is a slugger. And if he does what he normally does, and I fully expect it, if he is playing a full season, he's going to have 40 home runs. He's going to drive in a ton of runs. He's going to have home runs in big spots. He's going to strike out in big spots. But when you look back at the course of the year, he's going to hit more than 40. He's going to drive in more than 100. And he's going to come through more often than you think in these big spots, because that's what Pete Alonso has done his entire Met career, including last postseason. So, yes, it was a big moment for him because you need that. It was a big moment for the Mets. You don't want to lose this opener of this series to Miami with Alcantara on the mound tomorrow and the way you've been hitting. It was nice to have a little bit of a run explosion and kind of put to bed the narrative of this team can't hit, at least for a day, because you know how narratives change around here. Now we have a brand new narrative. Pete Alonso's a monster. But I fully expect, I think it's a great spot for him. I think right now he's absolutely the guy who should be hitting behind him. And I think as long as he does, he is going to have as good a season, run production-wise, as he's ever had in his career, because that's who Juan Soto is. And whoever hits behind Juan Soto is going to have that benefit. And Pete Alonso is going to run into enough home runs where he's going to have a ton of RBIs, And when you look back on it, it's going to feel a hell of a lot better than last year. And I wasn't overly concerned about it. I knew it was coming. And this Grand Slam last night, I don't know what it's changed for you. For me, it solidified the idea that Pete Alonso is going to have a monster year. And that's the effect of Juan Soto. The effect of Juan Soto isn't just how good he is, the production he will provide. It's what it does for the lineup. It's what it does to the opposing manager. It's the fear of Juan Soto and the ability he has to not expand the zone. And that's why opening day was so surprising, because he doesn't swing at those type of sliders against Hader that he did in game one. And you're going to see it, and we've seen it the rest of the series, right? They're taking the walk the other night in front of Pete when Pete pops up in the ninth. And instead today, instead of popping up, Pete hit a bullet over the right center field wall for a grand slam that led to a big victory for the Mets. But I would still tell you, you could argue Peterson is as important as anybody else in this game. 9 strikeouts. He had a bunch of check swings. He had them off balance the entire game against the Miami Marlins. They're not world beaters, although they did have a good opening series to their season. But he looked really good. Down in the zone, the slider was dipping down in the zone. He had people looking. He had funky swings. He had a lot of check swings. And honestly, right now, I understand Pete Alonso is going to be the story, and I understand that home run and the offense, and we all want offense, especially now with the torpedo bats. And I saw Ellie De La Cruz use it for the first time yesterday and hit 2 home runs and drove in 7 runs with it. And I know we're all about offense right now, and clearly the driving force of this team will be its offense. And right now, with even when Lindor out yesterday, Lindor, Soto, Pete, Vientos, to me, and you know, throwing Nimmo, like that's the crux of the team. That's the heart of the team. That's what's going to make this team go. But early on, the starting pitching has been in line with what it was last year. And I think you could argue that what you saw from Peterson, what you saw from Griffin Canning, and what you saw from McGill, and obviously on a lesser extent, even what you saw from Clay, who wasn't terrible. Like right now, this starting pitching is as good as it's been last year. And looks like if you combine that with the offense that's obviously coming, that's what you're hoping for as a Met fan. You're hoping that this rotation, along with what we saw from Edwin Diaz the other night, which was as good as we've seen him in the last 2 years, you've got a back end of the bullpen with Minter, Diaz, Buto, along with this rotation and the way it's throwing so far, still having guys coming back like Manaea. We're going to see Senga for the first time against Alcantara tomorrow. And right now, this Met team is poised to have a really good year. That's what, there's no doubt about it. And same thing with Alonso. I think this is going to be a monster year, and to that point, I think this is the last year with the Mets. So enjoy it. Instead of getting on him after 3 games, and I know Sal's like, I can't take it, and I can't take the body language and all this crap. I get it. And you know how important that spot is behind Juan Soto, and you want to make sure that that spot is productive, and you need to come through. When he walks, you have to make them pay. We've said the same thing about Judge in this town forever. When he walks, you got to make him pay. When he walks, you got to make him pay. And how important the player is behind him. And I get all that. But take a second and enjoy it. Because now he's, what, 25 home runs away from tying the all-time record for New York Mets with Darryl Strawberry. And he is going to have, as long as he's healthy, he is going to hit 40 home runs. And he might very well drive in more runs than he has in his entire career. And if that happens, adios. This is the last run we are seeing of Pete Alonso. That's it. We are 4 games in. Enjoy it, because this is it. Because he is going to have a good year in front of behind Juan Soto. He's going to drive in a ton of runs, and he's going to go get a contract because he won't have a pick attached to him like he did this year, and someone's going to give him money with another year of 40 home runs, 100 RBIs. And that is almost a lock with him being healthy this year. So it's 1 home run. I don't know why he needed it so desperately. I think he would have been just fine without it, but it was a big hit. The Mets do score some runs. The Mets feel a little bit better about themselves as they take on a tough pitcher tomorrow. They're 2-2 in a division that has the Braves still yet to find their first victory. And right now they're coming off a good win, getting ready for tomorrow, as the Yankees will get ready for tonight as well against the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we got both baseball teams. We'll still talk about the torpedo bats because the narrative is getting dumber and dumber. And I think we're all, well, I shouldn't even say that, because we're all coming to grips with the idea that it's not cheating. Everybody's doing it. And even if you listen to the Mets broadcast last night, you recognized how they feel about it, how Keith and Gary feel about it. And plus, the idea that Lindor is using it this season and was using it at times last season. To go along with Stanton using it last season and the Cubs using it last season. Like, this is not new. We'll get back into it as the real reason for the Yankee runs is finally coming into fruition and coming into vision, which is the Yankees have good hitters. And right now, the Milwaukee Brewers can't pitch. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some of the comments made by the New York Jets. Some I have a real problem with. So we'll get to that as well. The Devers situation and what's going on with the Boston Red Sox to have a little bit more fun as a Yankee fan. And we got another 2.5 hours to do it. 888-808-1019. Got you all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning right here on The Fan as we take you to the warm-up show. McMonagle here with you in the overnights. Back with your calls next on The Fan. All right, 227. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Big day for Pete Alonso. Big home run that broke the game open. The Yankees take, the Mets take, people will call that a Freudian slip. I know. It happens every once in a while. I guess they're doing a new segment on the morning show. McMonagle said, what? I was unaware of that segment. I heard it today. Someone tweeted it at me. I had a couple of slips last night.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, it was. Listen, the Goldschmidt. Thing.
No, I put both of them in the no context in the folder, and I knew Jerry would find
sure.
them.
What was the other one? I had the Goldschmidt where I forgot
and you
the
said Jazz's name wrong.
Oh, that's right, Jazz's name wrong. That happens. Both of which I caught immediately, but I don't know if that really matters. Bound to happen. Jazz is going to have a huge role. You know why? He's hitting behind Judge, just like Pete Alonso is hitting behind Juan Soto. And I don't know. I guess I thought the idea that there was like some sort of pressure on Pete, like he needed that. I saw that a bunch. It's three games in. Pete Alonso did not need that Grand Slam tonight. Last night. He didn't need it. It's a good hit. It's a big hit. It's a game-winning hit. Breaks the game open. It's important. I'm not trying to diminish it. But the idea that what would we have done? Like, the pressure starts to mount on Pete Alonso, I guess. Didn't he prove he handles pressure last year? And that's the other thing that makes me laugh, is what we as baseball fans continue to do. Like, Judge, I say anything about Judge, right? And I guess he won Player of the Week, if you can give him that from Thursday to Sunday. I don't know. But Judge wins Player of the Week in the American League. He obviously had a monster series, and it's scary to think what his season could be with a hot April. Like, it's scary. But you say one thing about Judge, and he's the best at this, or he's the best at that, or I think he's this, and immediately it's like, yeah, but what about the postseason? What about the postseason? What about the postseason? What about the postseason? All we care about is we expect them to come through all the time, or it's not good enough. And Pete Alonso, because my point is, Pete Alonso just did it in the postseason. Pete Alonso just came through. Pete Alonso hit the biggest home run of the Mets season. They're dead. They lose to the Brewers, who just gave up 36 runs to the New York Yankees and followed up by giving another, 10 or 11 to Kansas City yesterday. They lose to that team. They win the first game and lose back-to-back games to end their magical run. And it doesn't feel so magical. Pete Alonso just did that. And then he had a good series against Philadelphia. He just had a good postseason. So off a good postseason, taking I don't know if you want to call it a team-friendly contract because he's getting paid more than any first baseman in the history of baseball, but it is a one-year deal practically. After showing you everything that he wanted to be a Met, he was desperate to be a Met. Desperate. He didn't even want to talk to other teams. He offered the Mets the short-term deal, whether he actually offered it to other teams or not, but it never felt like Pete Alonso was willing to even really seriously discuss going anywhere else until he was 100% positive the Mets weren't going to sign him. He wanted to be a Met bad, and he just performed in the postseason. And three games in, he needed that. I find that really hard to take. and really, like, because I know, you know, Lindor is struggling right now. I don't think anyone's going to say, like, oh, boy, Lindor really needs a big hit here. Why? Because Lindor was great all the regular season. He won the MVP, could have been the MVP, was the best player on the team, established himself as the leader and the captain. And, you know, I guess we'll be okay with him. I don't know. But for whatever reason, Pete, who's been here his entire career, who desperately wants to be here, who's going to break the all-time home run record for the team, who has consistently hit 40, 35, 50 home runs a season, who just hit the biggest home run of the entire year last year in the postseason. For him, three games in while struggling, whew, needed that. He didn't. He didn't need it. But I'm glad he got it. Big-time home run, big-time victory for the Mets. 2-2 now with Sandy Alcantara looking them in the face later today. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. JoJo in Long Island. What's up, JoJo?
Hello, Mr. Stumac. How you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How are you?
This morning. I'm doing well. Yeah, Pete Alonso had a great hit. Unbelievable. But it wasn't because of Soto. It's because of Pete Alonso.
I agree.
But, Judge is doing a lot better than him.
Well, I mean, Judge is doing a lot better than everybody in baseball.
Oh, my God. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's...
You know, and this big brother, little brother thing that they had going on, oh, we got Soto, we're the big brother now. Come on. Give me a break.
Well, yeah, listen, JoJo, I agree with you. I think the big brother, little brother, and I guess that's a favorite topic of Tommy Lugauer, and apparently I saw the tweet. Apparently he did it again today. On the warm-up show, not the warm-up show, rather, I'm sorry, the bridge show, which I should know because I invented it. I think Keith has an issue with that, and I know JJ was doing something, but I think I coined the term bridge. Other people might have worked that little half-hour shift before me. I called it the bridge show. But, yeah, I mean, look, big brother, little brother, it's all stupid. We can have some fun with it a little bit, but... The Mets have to do a lot more to be big brother. We all know this. Like, even Mets fans deep down know it. They can tell themselves, well, the owner's richer. That we signed Juan Soto. The standing future of the organization is better. The farm system is better. You know, okay. The Yankees farm system is playing in the field. There are a bunch of young kids out there. Like, they're relying on a bunch of young kids. So I'm not overly worried about that, let's be honest. And Judge is the best hitter in all of baseball, and it's not close. So we'll see what happens. But again, and I'm just getting the tweet now. As my guy, Darth Penguin, one of my favorite Twitter handles, Darth Penguin, Pete needed that home run because he needs to show he can protect Soto. So striking out in that bat proves he can't. Like, of course, he needs to have a good year.
He's got a blue check mark. You think it's the real Darth Penguin?
It could be. Does he have a blue check mark? No.
I might be looking at the wrong Darth.
Yeah, no, you're looking at the wrong.
There were multiple.
Yeah, well, it's like Anakin Quinn, I guess this is like, I don't know the difference between handle and whatever, but like it's at Darth Penguin or Penguin. Penguin, it's not like actually Penguin, I'm sorry. Penguin, I don't know. But he's got a little picture of a penguin. Unless you spell penguin with a Q, and I'm being really stupid right now. But anyway, yes, of course he needs to protect Soto. Someone needs to protect Soto. And if he doesn't do it, they'll put someone else in there. Three games in seems a little early to be looking for proof. Because I'll tell you this right now, as much as I think he's going to have a monster year, that grand slam doesn't prove anything. You think that's proof now? Oh, we could all just take a big... Oof, man. And I thought for a minute Pete wasn't going to be able to protect Soto. Thankfully, that one grand slam against Miami in the fourth game of the year has now settled all my nerves, and I know Pete's going to be great from this point on because, hey, he just proved it. Never mind the home run he hit in the postseason to save their bacon. Like, you hear what I'm talking about? I know you're probably struggling with the idea that you're one of the few birds on this planet who can't fly, but, like... You didn't need, like, this at-bat doesn't prove it, nor would have a strikeout prove that he can't. Like, it's three games in. Let's stop with the needs and has-tos and, you know, guarantees and, you know, will-nevers and all that crap. I was pushing back against the Aaron Judge will never hit in the postseason crap yesterday. I guess I got to push against the crap that, like, oh, if Pete Alonso struck out in last night's game with the bases loaded, it proves he can't protect Juan Soto. David in Port Washington. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Chris.
You got it, buddy. What's up?
I got to let you know, first of all, that penguin with a Q almost swatted me. I don't know what you were talking about. But anyway.
I have no idea what I'm talking about either.
You know, when it comes to those, what they call magical bats, it's technology as far as I'm concerned. All right? Technology is advancing, okay? It's like there's no more paste homes. There's cell phones now. The things just change, okay? And people are going to have to accept it. Everybody's allowed to use these bats.
Yeah.
So, you know, there should be no void done with, okay? They're going to use the bat, period. All right? They're the proper circumference, the proper length, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, my hats are off to these young guys who are producing Judge and Alonso and, you know, the rest of them, okay? They're under enormous pressure, I feel, to produce, okay? And they're doing their damnedest, you know? My mother, she's 89. She says, David, you know what? Good pitching will always beat good hitting, period. And it's, I think that's very true.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, even the best of hitters, you know, get out 6 out of 10 times. Nobody's done better than say, no one's even gotten to 6 out of 10 since Ted Williams. So yes, failing is part of it. Good pitching will always beat good hitting for the most part over the long haul. But yeah, I mean, again, it's just that I don't know why the amount of pressure was put on this lineup a couple days in. That's all. I know you don't like to see them not score runs. It's frustrating. You don't want to see them get one hit by the Houston Astros and followed up with him striking out with the bases loaded. I get it. But like, it's a little early to talk about what he has to do. And I expect him to have a monster year. I think it's a great spot for him because Juan Soto's terrific. He's going to get on base. And Joe Girardi was talking about this during the Yankee broadcast, that he thinks it's more important the guys in front than the guys behind, because like we were in the broadcast, it was actually perfect listening to the SNY, right? They were like, oh, you'll probably walk Soto anyway. And then they hit Marte in front of him. And immediately they go, well, now you can't walk Soto. Like, that's the point. That's the point. Like, who's in front of Soto? Is he getting on base? Because if Marte makes out with Siri at second, you're pitching around Soto. You got Siri at second, Marte up. If Marte makes out, you're walking Soto. It doesn't matter who's behind him. And I was saying this yesterday with Aaron Judge. There's not enough. Soto is so good. You're not going to put another. The Yankees were magically great, you know, were able to do it last year. But for the most part, like, Soto is such a great hitter. There's no one you could put behind him on this Met team that would make a team comfortable saying, you know what, I know first base is open in a big spot, but I can't walk Soto because I got to pitch to that guy next. Like, there's not a guy good enough. But once you put Marte on, they're not going to walk the bases loaded on purpose. So getting on base in front of them could be even more important than who you have as protection behind them. And they're both important, but like 3 days in, we weren't looking for, there are no great declarations. There is no guarantee. Like, I don't think Pete Alonso needed that to prove anything. I don't think it proves anything. I don't think striking out would have proved he can't do it. It's 4 games in. You got to give this time. They're just starting the season. And the entire team is ice cold outside of, you know, heading into last night, outside of Juan Soto. Like, I think we're just making too much of way too much here to start the year. Megan, and you mentioned the bats too. Like, again, the bats, it's technology. It's thinking about the actual instrument that you use to make contact with the baseball. And they have changed bats a million different ways. Gary and Keith were talking about it. It used to just be white ash, then it became maple, which was a harder wood, and like people had to adjust to that. Was that cheating when the first person carved the bat out of maple? Or birch? or all the other different words they use? Woods they use, not words. Woods they use? Is that cheating? What about carving out the cup at the top to take off more of the bat? Like, this isn't even, the more and more you think about it, it's not even changing the bat all that much. You don't want to hit the ball off the end of the bat, right? So it's making the end of the bat a little less impactful and putting the barrel slightly down. Like, this is not a big deal. It's not the reason the Yankees hit all those home runs. Clearly, because if everybody who uses it hits home runs, well, Lindor has started the year being awful. When Peralta pitched for Milwaukee, the Yankees scored four runs, got the two home runs, and that was it. Because he's an excellent starting pitcher, had really good stuff and had a changeup that was as good as any pitch in baseball that day. Ask me how, I don't know, but I saw a story on it. And then when they had Nestor Cortez, who's throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs because he's lost a little bit of velocity on his fastball, right down the middle on three consecutive pitches, they hit home runs. It's not the bat, right? It helps, sure. They wouldn't do it if it doesn't help, or at least they believed it helped. But this is such a non-story. It was yesterday. It's all about now that the Yankees are doing it and they had one weekend, we all got to get pissed off about it. Because we were expecting the Yankees to struggle offensively. Because we all still hate the Yankees and the Yankees are still the evil empire. Evan had the same take I did. He's 100% right. I was watching clips from Talking Baseball on the John Boy Network and Trevor Plouffe was saying the exact same thing. About how the bats are nothing. Like, this is a nothing burger. The bats are a little bit different. Some guys like it. Some guys won't. Some guys will use it. Some guys won't. Some guys will be more productive with it. Some guys won't. It's not a magic stick. It's not something that's going to propel Volpe to hit 50 home runs this year. And it's not why the Yankees blasted the ball all over the ballpark the other day. It's just not. And it's a bunch of crybabies looking for excuses why the Yankee team they thought was going to be terrible had a good 3 days. Like, that's it. And everybody sees my open. They're like, bro, calm down. It's 3 days. I'm like, that's my point. That's my point of the whole thing. My point wasn't, woo-hoo-hoo, Yankees are going to the World Series. My point was, wow, the haters and everybody who hates the Yankees couldn't wait more than 3 days before they had to bitch and cry about the Yankees having a successful offense. They couldn't wait more than 3 days. I'm not telling you they're going to the World Series. I'm not telling you they're one of the great offenses in the game. We have to let that play out, just like I'm not telling you Pete Alonso is now going to hit a million home runs necessarily behind Juan Soto, or that if a strikeout happened last night with the bases loaded, that would have guaranteed he'll never come through. Like, it's 3 days in. You got to give it some time to find out what the teams are like and how the offenses go. It's just getting started. It's good to win. It's bad to lose. It's good to come through. It's bad to not. That's all true. But, like, you need to have some perspective. It's baseball. There's 162 of these. But my whole point was, after 3 games, not that the Yankees are world beaters, that the offense is now going to be 10 times more potent than people thought. But after 3 games, the baseball collective world said, not the Yankees. I don't like it. Because they're still the evil empire. They're still the Yankees. The pinstripes still mean something. There's still aura there. It's still Yankee Stadium. It's still the Yankees. And the proof was how up in arms people got about them hitting home runs with the same bat teams were using last year, that teams are using this year. But when the Yankees do it, it's a problem. It's a problem. And that was my favorite part. Because I know this isn't going to keep up. They're not going to let they're not going to welcome in the Arizona Diamondbacks going against Burns, Gallen, and Kelly, their three best starting pitchers, and hit 15 home runs in that series. I can promise you, they're not going to. They don't have a magical bat. Check swings are not flying out of on the short porch. You still got to hit it. And they're going to get shut down in one of these three games for sure. At least one of them. They're going to get completely shut down and score one or two runs max. That's going to happen in this series. We all know it. But that wasn't the point. The point was, is the collective baseball universe said, I was okay with it. I didn't even pay attention to it. I didn't give a damn until the big bad Yankees did it. Now it feels dirty. Now it feels like cheating. Now I don't like it. Because you're a bunch of babies who thought the Yankees were going to be terrible. And for 3 days they weren't, and you couldn't handle it. And it was glorious. Mark in Brooklyn. What's up, Mark?
Oh, hey, C-Mac. I think you do a great job.
Well, thank you, buddy.
If they're talking about you in the daytime, they're just looking up to the real leader of this radio station, okay?
Oh, thank you. Who's talking? Was they talking about me in the daytime today or no?
No, I just overheard you said something about McMonagle said this. Or
well, Evan,
that.
I'm McMonagle. Evan. Oh, okay, no, oh, the well, morning show's thing about me. When I have slips of the tongue, which I have to admit, at sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning at the end of my
day,
it happens.
You're doing such a good job.
I mean, thank you.
Slip of the tongue. Hey, listen, I love listening to you, but I have one question for you.
Yes.
I bet you don't know that the sport of pool, they spend so much money on a pool cue that it puts bicycle racing to shame. The pool cue industry is worth, a top pool player will spend thousands and thousands of dollars on their stick.
Yeah.
And it's all about the weight and
sure.
the way it's designed for the player
yep.
and how they play.
Mm-hmm.
So the baseball bat getting attention, this makes perfect sense.
Yeah, no, listen, I understand. Nobody talks about, I mean, there's a million different variations, and it is kind of, you know, the hitters get the ones they like. Like, I understand this is a bit different with you're moving the barrel of the bat in a little bit, like down a little bit, where most players make more contact. But like, not just like golf clubs, same thing. It's built direct. You go get not just professionals. Like, you know, Ted down the block is like, hey Chris, do you want to come to the golf superstore with me? I'm going to get fitted for a brand new set of clubs. Like, the average player goes and gets fitted for clubs that suit their game. They'll take swings at the simulator. They'll see how they do this. They'll build the club just for them. This is not new. It's not new. And it's well within baseball regulations. This is not cheating in any way, shape, or form at all. And I know pitchers who give up home runs won't like it, but you know what? It's the way it works. And we don't really talk about the difference in bats, even though there is. Like, every once in a while, Paul O'Neill or for the Yankee broadcast or Keith Hernandez in the Met broadcast. We'll talk about the kind of bat they used and what they liked and what model it was and how much, oh, he used a heavier bat than I used. But, like, that's about it. We don't really talk, despite the fact how integral they are to the game, we never talk about bats. Nobody ever cares. And because the Yankees hit 15 home runs in a series, suddenly that became the talking point of baseball. I could go an entire year on this show talking baseball every single night after every single game, which we do. And I wouldn't mention a bat the entire season. It would never come up. We'd never talk about it unless we're talking about Roger Clemens throwing a bat. Like, that's it. Other than Roger Clemens throwing a bat, we might not have talked about bats since the 2000 World Series. Like, we never talk about it. And yet, the Yankees hit 15 home runs in a series, and the talking point of all of baseball is the bats. Proof, ladies and gentlemen. Judge, I offer Exhibit A, proof that the Yankees are still the evil empire, that the Yankees still have aura, that the pinstripes still mean something, and that the rest of Major League Baseball still hates them and views them as something different than just one of the 30 teams in the game. They are still different. They still matter. They are still the New York Yankees because they hit 15 home runs in a three-game span and the collective baseball universe lost their minds. And that's what I loved about it. A bunch of crybabies bitching and complaining about the Yankees being successful, particularly when they thought they wouldn't be. And it was great.
And Clemens picked it up, and he threw it back toward Piazza.
Yes, he did, but he had no idea Piazza was going to be there. Mike in Brooklyn, what's up, Mike?
See, Mac, I wait tonight.
What's up, buddy? How are you? All right? Yeah, good. Everything's good.
First of all, most important, who's going to go 162-0? Padres, Dodgers, or the Yankees?
If I have to put money on it, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers. But we'll see. That's it. Well, will the Braves ever win a game again?
I know. I was watching that. I was watching that Mike one when he was like, "What the hell?"
Oh, yeah. I know.
100. Like,
did you say 162-0? Yeah. Okay.
So listen, first of all, that first weekend, I think I blew my bet to you already after the first weekend. I saw those three home runs. I'm like, bam, I think I owe freaking C-Mac pizza already.
Yep.
crazy. And just the last thing, too. First of all, I got to talk to Fleeks. Fleeks cannot go on vacation during the baseball season, at least when it starts. Because you and Rami together, Rami's like the, what do you call it? I love Rami. Mm-hmm. Rami like adds coal onto the fire. You're like, yeah, and Soto and this, and he's not great in the field. And he's like, yeah, you're right, C-Mac. And then he gets you going. You're like, mm-hmm. Today, you all revved up right from the get-go. But
I'm always revved up right from the get-go. But I try and bring the energy right away.
I told him, I'm like, Fleegs needs to be with C-Mac because they even each other out, and mm-hmm. he's good with Al because you guys will even each other out. But
well, we'll see. He's out in Miami enjoying the baseball games. So
I know. I texted him. So, but listen, man, always great to hear you, brother, and I hope the Yankees have a great season and the Mets.
Let's go.
And,
I'm with you, Mike, and thank you for the call. Let's hope everybody has a great season. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Seema, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good. You know, first of all, the way I see it, I mean, look, I turned on Saturday's game, and I wasn't even sure what I was listening to at first. I thought it was a replay with the way those first three pitches went down. But I'm like, am I hearing? And then I know you said you turned it on afterwards, right?
I started the game late. Yeah, I mean, I didn't miss it. I started the game from the beginning on DVR.
Right. I mean, it was.
But yes, I started the game about 45 minutes after it started.
Yeah, I was in the car and I'm listening. My daughter's sitting next to me, and we hear pitch home run. I'm like,
yeah.
And we looked at each other like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's the way I look. I look at the start of the baseball season exactly like the start of football. All right, because you don't know what you're going to get in the beginning of the season. You know, pitchers are off, hitters are off. I mean, you're coming out of spring training. These teams only play literally a handful of teams during all of spring training, most of whom, you know, they see. So I never take too much into how the season starts. I mean, was it impressive? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even know about the bat until, you know, it was brought up afterwards. But I'll tell you one thing, though. It seems like it's going to become a talking point with no matter who does it now, because
yeah.
I was scrolling through ESPN, and they made it a point of saying how Ellie De La Cruz,
yep.
You know, due to the bat, if you look it up, it said due to the torpedo bat, De La Cruz had like seven
RBIs.
Yeah,
I mean, if they wrote due to the bat, that's extremely.
I'm telling you, when you get a second, take a look. Just
yeah, I mean, I saw the story. I didn't see that. I'll look for the. No. I know it was the first time he used it, and I'm up against it, Eric. You have a good night, all right, brother?
You got it.
Have
absolutely.
A good day. I'd be surprised if they said because of the bat. Now, I know the Sal tweeted out what I guess is going to be the was it the Post? Let me just make sure. The Daily News back page is going to be a picture of Alonso tossing the bat after the home run. Raw polar bear power, not some fancy bat, is all Alonso needs to launch Grand Slam in Mets romp. Torpedo. I mean, this is what I'm talking. Like, it's just like that's a somewhat of a clever. That's a somewhat of a clever back page. They're just dying to use torpedo. Like they're just dying to use it. They thought, oh, Pete and pedo, it works. But Alonso needs it. I mean, excuse me, Lindor needs it. And, you know, I just, yeah, but the offense, of course. I mean, we know that it's too early to make any sort of declaration on the Yankee offense. And people, you know, listen, I understand why the company does it, and I thought it was actually a good video they put out of me. But, like, you know, they get these short little clips and think that, like, people saw that clip and thought my point was the Yankees are unstoppable. I can't tell you how many people, oh, 3 days and the Yankees are unstoppable. That's not what I was saying at all. I was having some fun that they had a good weekend, but my point wasn't that the Yankees, oh, here it comes, the Yankees are the best. My point was, is all it took was 3 days of Yankee success for everybody to flip out. That was my point. That they're the big bad Yankees still, because look at how the baseball universe reacts to them having a good weekend. And that's my point. It's just a good weekend. You know why the Yankees scored all those runs? It wasn't about the bat. They happen to be hot coming off of spring, and look at all their numbers. All of them had a good spring. They're swinging the bat fairly well coming off of spring, and Nestor Cortez and Aaron Civale stink. That's why. And look at the Marlins gave up 10. The Brewers gave up 11 runs to the Kansas City Royals. Like, I don't have any misconceptions that the Yankees are going to score 30 runs every series. Like, we know what it is. They just happen to be, you know, swinging the bat fairly well to start the year, like they did last year too, by the way, other than Judge. Like, if you look back at the Yankees' offense besides Judge last year, Volpe had the best, you know, the first 3 weeks of the season was the best Volpe was all year. Oswaldo Cabrera, because of the injury to DJ LeMay, who had a start, he got off to a really great start. Soto was off to a really great start. Like, everybody but Judge was hitting. The Yankees, the first series, 80 degrees on a beautiful sunny day in the Bronx, getting 89-mile-an-hour fastballs right down the middle, had a couple of good days. That's it. They were aggressive against first-pitch fastballs against the pitcher they know very well and hit a bunch of home runs. And then the team turned around and gave up 10 runs the next day, too. Milwaukee's not that good pitching at the moment. They have some injuries, and their starters aren't all that good. And the Yankees happen to be swinging some hot bats. It's not about the torpedoes. It's not about suddenly the Yankees are unstoppable. They had a good weekend, and that's all it took for everybody to get friggin' pissed off and call them cheaters and everything else. And that's what I loved about it. I loved it. Proved all of the nonsense that we heard all offseason was just that, nonsense. They are still exactly who they've always been. The New York Yankees, the evil empire, the team everybody loves to hate, the team nobody wants to be successful, other than Yankee fans. And that's exactly who they are, and the proof is all it takes is one good weekend, and everybody has to point a finger. Even though other people use the bat, other teams use the bat, they've been using it for years. Big problem when the Yankees do it. 888-808-1019. Come back, continue to take your phone calls. On the Mets, Pete Alonso, the bats. I do want to get into the Jets a little bit. And some of the comments from the owner and why the new head coach always seems angry. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Update. McMonagle here with you on the Fan.